On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You have aligned to the Assembly's Democratic Minority Leader, Gordon Hintz. And so here's a roadmap to start us out. We'll look at what lawmakers can do about the surging pandemic and unvaccinated Wisconsinites, an election audit under the direction of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and we start with Wisconsin's unprecedented tax collections. Record-breaking estimates continue to blow past expectations. How do you think the state should spend the extra $319 million in tax revenue it collected? 800-642-1234. Democratic Representative Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Kate.
Good morning. Let's start with those tax collections. Wisconsin bringing in $19.6 billion in tax revenue in the 2020-2021 fiscal year. That's 12% higher year over year. We're in the strongest fiscal shape compared to any recent budget cycle. What's going on?
Well, I mean, the good news is Wisconsin's economy, and really a credit to President Biden's recognition of the importance of an infusion of federal investment during the pandemic, and really Governor Evers' leadership on getting our vaccinations distribution plan around the state done early. We've seen a recovery that I think has outpaced the nation. Our unemployment is much lower than the national average. And, you know, the revenues have reflected the fact. I think we all were nervous, you know, 18 months ago, what kind of implosion was going to take place. And of course, you know, we find ourselves in a good place before the budget was passed, and we still have an opportunity. I think the challenge at the state level is we, despite record amounts of revenue, we really missed the need that was out there in terms of increasing the investment in K-12 education, in the UW system, in support for local government and public safety. And now that we know that we have actually more revenue, I think it's really important that we revisit those decisions, as Governor Evers has called on Republicans to do.
And your Republican colleagues say it's the tax cuts that are driving this strong financial position. Do you think there's something behind that?
Well, look, anytime that there's more money in people's pockets, especially those who spend their money, that always contributes to things. But look, even the Fiscal Bureau, who puts out the information related to our budget surplus and financial data, gave credit primarily to the Biden administration and to the Evers administration's vaccine rollout as driving the success of what we're seeing in terms of economic growth. So, you know, Republicans can try to say, no, it was us. But, you know, zero people are saying that, at least according to our fiscal estimates.
How would you like to see the extra money be spent?
Well, I'd like to see it. You know, we have a tax cut in the budget already. If you have record amount of revenue and you know you have tremendous need in our school districts, you know, it still makes no sense to me at a time of record revenue that we put almost no new money directly into the classrooms in our state at a time that we know it's incredibly challenging and uncertain related to COVID, the impact on students of a year off and some of the mental health needs that are out there. Districts are going to be in a position, as we've already heard from them, because their costs and demands have gone up, but their money is largely going to be flat, where they're going to be faced in the next year with teacher layoffs or going to referendum to increase property taxes. And we have the resources. We have the resources to make those investments. And so that would be, you know, a big one. Same with local governments and UW system. I mean, how have we made the least investment in the last decade, you know, in both of these core entities in the state at a time when we have record revenue? So I think, you know, the surplus announcement and the balance that we have on hand, I think, puts the state in an opportunity where we really can revisit those things. We can have tax cuts. We can make investments in education, in local government and public safety, and in our UW system, and not just play politics.
I want to pause there on local governments, you know, the state being flush, but municipalities aren't necessarily in that boat. The state's expenditure restraint program provides, you know, additional state aid to qualifying municipalities that limit growth in spending. And that program remains at the same level, $58 million annually. Should that be increased?
We should be looking at how do we direct more state resources through either the shared revenue program or tweaking some of the other formulas out there to get more money into our local communities. We're over-reliant on the property tax, and we've curbed that. The governor proposed giving local governments alternative revenue options like state cities and other states have. But the answer is yes. I mean, we gotta plow the streets, pick up the garbage, and police the streets. But even those things are, you know, having a hard time being funded right now. But if our future is based on quality of life and our ability to invest in communities that are going to be able to attract people to our state, the state's got to be a better partner. And this was the opportunity. You know, we've got a lot of one-time federal money coming to communities for some infrastructure things. But the state really missed the opportunity, and I'm afraid it was tied more to 2022 politics than to what was best for our state.
Talking with Gordon Hintz, Democratic Minority Leader of the State Assembly, as we look at pressing issues before lawmakers and taking your concerns as well at 800-642-1234. We're going to switch gears here and look at the pandemic with Maddie joining us from De Pere. Hi, Maddie. What is on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I have a question. I hope he can answer. I've checked with several of the hospitals in the Green Bay area, and they're kind of stingy about how often they'll use the monoclonal antibodies. And there was a hospital in Appleton that I called. It sounded like they didn't even have it. So I'm wondering, did Eli Lilly cut a special deal with the Republican Party? You know, down in Florida, the governor was handing it out like candy.
Well, Maddie, I want to pause there. And Maddie is talking about these antibodies that are therapy and treatment for COVID patients. Any insights there, Representative Hintz?
No. You know, and I think it's been important for politicians to try to not wade too far into discussions of antibodies and some of the healthcare treatments, you know, that are out there. I think if we're having challenges getting the best kind of treatments that are available, and if it's about supply and access, I think, you know, working with the Department of Health Services, we can. But I'm not familiar with anything like that. I know we have great hospitals in our state who I know are working tirelessly to try to make sure they're as prepared as possible to take care of not only their patients, but their staff as well.
You know, the rate for new COVID infections in Wisconsin climbing steadily, now more than 1,500 new cases per day on average. What do you want to see out of you and your colleagues in the legislature? What action should the legislature take at this point in the pandemic?
Well, I think the best thing that we can do is just not sue the governor, not try to get in the way of public health measures that are really necessary right now. We're already seeing a backlash from some Republicans in other states. I think I heard on your earlier news segment, perhaps from Republicans in this state, looking at thwarting efforts to coordinate with the President Biden's order on vaccines, which really could further delay any kind of economic recovery and also burden, you know, our hospitals. We know the way out of this pandemic, and we've demonstrated in Wisconsin that we're capable of doing this, but we still have a ways to go. And, you know, let's not make things worse. Let's let public health and let's let Department of Health Services, you know, continue to do the job that they should be doing. We don't need to politically micromanage this one and pander to anti-science views for electoral reasons.
What do you think of President Biden's vaccine mandate on employers?
I think the president's leading. Look, we had 30,000 people die in this country in September. We're estimated to have 40,000 die in this month, maybe more. More people have died of COVID than all of the people who died serving this country in wars in our country's history. That number should be sobering. And we ask for leadership in times like this to not only prevent future death, but all the other residual impacts economically on schools. Again, this is the way out of here. And we need to continue to look out for each other. We need to encourage, we need to expand access and, you know, create environments where we can limit places for the virus to go. But we have a long ways to go. I think the president is doing the right thing, and maybe there'll be some pushback early, but I think he'll be judged as leading. And I'm grateful to have a president who is.
Representative Gordon Hintz leads Democrats in the Assembly as we talk through pressing issues at the Capitol. What questions do you have for the Democratic minority leader? What letter grade would you give the state legislature on how it is doing to fight COVID in Wisconsin? Do you live in Oshkosh? How are businesses doing in the district? Join in 800-642-1234. Back for more State Cap in a minute here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're touching down on a range of issues moving through the Capitol, getting your take as well. Assembly Democrat Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh is on the line. As the partisan fight over redrawing the state's political boundaries wends its way through the courts, what should be the role of the state Supreme Court in redistricting? What are you watching for out of these lawsuits? Are you worried about the tight timeline this year as the census data arrived late? What legislative proposals are you watching closely? 800-642-1234. Representative Hintz is with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's take a look here at this election audit, a new audit of the 2020 presidential election results. It's being pushed by your colleague, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and said it would cost at least $680,000. What do you make of this audit?
Well, not much. It's incredibly disappointing. And I think, you know, Republicans all around the country had a choice to make, especially after January 6th. You know, were they going to, you know, stand with President Trump in this kind of cynical attempt to put the idea out there that the election was stolen, breed distrust and undermining our democracy? Or were we going to move on, recognize the election was one of the safest and most secure we've had on record? And of course, that's from the President Trump's own Department of Justice. And it looks like, you know, when Robin Voss went to go bow down to the president when they met on this, that, you know, they're going to throw money at this and they're going to continue to perpetuate this idea to people that the election was stolen, despite no evidence or evidence to the contrary. I think what people need to understand is, you know, this isn't just a crazy egomaniac ex-president. This is a well-funded, well-coordinated effort with more cynical goals than just repressing voter turnout in the future. It's really about undermining democracy going forward. If you look at things that are being done in Texas and other places, it's giving the legislature power to intervene in electoral outcomes, including overturning the results. And I think this is really kind of what they're setting the table for, you know, perhaps in future sessions.
We see a group of Republicans who want a full forensic, physical, and cyber audit. Do you know what that is and what it entails?
No, only in that it's, you know, based on the Arizona experience, pretty crazy. I mean, you had people there that were looking for fibers from, I don't know, some sort of Chinese influence or something, bamboo fibers, I guess, in the ballots. You know, it's an incredibly burdensome thing. If you talk to the clerks, and they're thankful that my Republican colleague, State Senator Kathy Bernier, held a hearing last week that did involve clerks that, from around the state, as well as the head of the Wisconsin Election Commission, to speak and explain these things and explain why our elections were safe and secure, and why a number of these rumors or conspiracies that are thrown out there by my pillow guy and others aren't true. But, you know, it's expensive, it's costly. And again, there's no reason for this right now other than the well-financed, well-coordinated effort to put this idea out there. When you say audit, forensic audit, counting the ballots, the longer that the investigation and all these things go out there, the more distrust is sown with the public and you lead them down this path, which of course is their goal. I mean, that's just it. The investigation, in all of this, that is the goal. There isn't an outcome. There isn't anything that's going to be produced. But as long as this goes on, it continues to, you know, move the conspiracy forward.
Moving on to redistricting now, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty is asking the Supreme Court to take up the redistricting issue immediately rather than let it play out in lower courts. We're seeing multiple lawsuits. You know, what is the role of the high court in map drawing?
Well, I'm going to take the, you know, our court at its own, you know, word. I think they said in the spring that they didn't want to be involved or they shouldn't be involved in the map process under Justice Rogensack. And I hope that would be the case. I think things are a little different this time around because of the census debacle under President Trump that led to a delay in, you know, moving forward with the maps. But the bottom line is, if we are committed to a democracy that works for everyone, if we want a maps process that is fair, transparent, and nonpartisan, there's a way to do it. In fact, there's been a way to do it for a while. So instead of thinking about the path or the outcomes or whatnot, you know, why don't we commit right now at the front end? And I'm looking forward to what the Governor's Fair Maps Commission proposes. But let's start there and hold to that goal. And then let's run under fair maps and we can debate ideas and other things. But, you know, the fact that we're already starting with lawsuits, that we're already trying to determine the best legal court option to win the battle, seems to put the public last. And that's unfortunate if our goal is to, you know, have an accountable, workable democracy.
We're discussing a variety of issues with Representative Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh, leads Democrats in the State Assembly. You can join in 800-642-1234 with issues on your mind. Denise is joining us from Washburn this morning. Hi, Denise.
Hello, good morning. Good morning. I am a school bus driver for Washburn, Wisconsin, and I've been working really hard with my children on the school bus to stay en masse. They're all doing really well. Last week, towards the end of the week, I received notice that there were going to be two children on the bus that were going to be allowed on the bus without masks. I requested my employer and the superintendent of the Washburn School District to please find alternate transportation for those children so, yes, they can still attend school, but yet we can keep our bus as safe as we possibly can. So what I'm looking for is I'm wondering how I can get support. Right now I have taken a protest that, because these children are going to be allowed only, they're only asking for the morning route to school. I have been in protest, so as of not taking that route, to see if I can put a little pressure on them to help out and find alternate transportation. But I am continuing to take my afternoon route. So I'm looking for how can I get support when my belief is that transportation on buses are mandatory masking.
Denise, thank you for sharing your story. Representative Hintz.
Well, first off, thank you, you know, for playing your vital role in your position. And I know we have a shortage of bus drivers that's increasingly becoming a story around the country or in state and country. This is one that's playing out in local school districts and in other places out there. And of course, we know that you know, the vaccines are most effective and masks are most effective when everybody wears them. And unfortunately, those decisions are probably reflective of their parents' politics. You know, the mask issue is something that there's obviously some fatigue on, and we've had past battles over the last year and a half. You know, I'm happy to kind of see what can be done related to the state level, although these things have been somewhat managed at the local level because of on the unfortunate divisiveness and other things. You know, there's a lot of talking at each other and a lot of people kind of dug in. I just, you know, I wish at least for those parents, there was a way to, you know, get them to recognize that, you know, we're all looking out for each other when we do things like wear masks, get vaccinated, and especially for kids that can't get vaccinated that may be on your bus, the masking of everyone is more important if we're trying to limit the transmission, not just between the kids, but from those kids to people that are either immunocompromised or more at risk. So I'm sorry, I don't have an easy answer other than I certainly support your position and hope that your board can find a remedy.
Last question here. We're less than a minute away. Fort McCoy in Wisconsin, one of eight military facilities receiving Afghan refugees arriving in the U.S. as part of Operation Allies Welcome. Is Wisconsin prepared for this operation?
In my conversations, in brief ones that I've had with the administration, I mean, yes, but this is, this is big. I forget what we're approaching, if it was 10,000 or more, but you're talking, bigger than a lot of cities in terms of there. And we're, dealing with both some of the, health issues, making sure that we're getting all of their needs, taken care of. And there's an abundance of resources and different groups out there that are doing everything possible to smooth the transition. I think if anybody put themselves in the position, these refugees, the challenges that we have out there. But look, Wisconsin has always been a destination and always been a successful place for refugees to transition. We celebrated Hmong Labor Day Fest, 10 days ago. And in talking with some of the Hmong individuals in my community, they talked about this experience being very comparable to that.
Well, we have to end it there. Thank you for joining us. Gordon Hintz, Democratic Minority Leader of the Assembly. News is next. On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A year and a half into the pandemic, all the legislative spending, the major bills, the federal economic aid dispensed, it really starts to blur together and get fuzzy. So we aim for some clarity on where the federal dollars are going in Wisconsin and what is still in state coffers. Our state has received billions in federal dollars aimed at managing the pandemic recovery and easing the economic burden to Wisconsin families and businesses. What do you think of how Governor Evers has allocated CARES Act or ARPA, funds from the American Rescue Plan Act? Are you satisfied with the transparency of the process? 800-642-1234 to join in. Joel Brennan is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. Secretary Brennan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, Kate, thanks for having me this morning. It's great to be with you again.
Good morning. Wisconsin has received roughly $4.5 billion from the federal government for the various responses to the pandemic. Is that money, has it been enough?
Well, I think the important thing is there's two questions. Is it enough and has it gone to the areas of most immediate need? And I can guarantee you that none of this has been as elegant as any of us would have liked. But I think standing, a year and a half into the pandemic, I think we've been able to provide significant direct support to small businesses, to the healthcare infrastructure around the state, to lots of those areas of need. Only the future will tell if we've been able to keep people afloat and then, hopefully put some wind behind them as the pandemic ends. But I do think we've done a good job, and we've tried to listen to the stakeholders around the state of getting those dollars into the areas of most immediate need.
Do you think there has been fiscal accountability and transparency in the process, in the federal pandemic relief aid going into Wisconsin?
No, I think we've tried to, as much as we can, to be as transparent as possible with this. On our Department of Administration website, it outlines for virtually every dollar of the CARES Act, that was the money that came to Wisconsin, about $2 billion under the Trump administration. We've outlined all that. We're still in the process of spending, as you know, the rescue plan dollars and doing everything we can to transparently let people know what the small businesses are. Just to, as an example of that, over the last several weeks, we've gotten out about $70 and $75 million directly to the lodging industry around the state of Wisconsin, about 900 or so recipients around the state who are hotels were the recipients of those dollars. In the next few days, we'll publish the list of all of those businesses, how many dollars they got. And we've done that throughout the pandemic and throughout all of the reporting around this relief. So we're trying as much as we can to be transparent about it. Importantly, we also are trying to ensure that we get those dollars to the areas of need, specifically the tourism, hospitality, industry is one that's been really hurt by the pandemic, and it's one that's not going to be quick to recover either. So we made some contributions and we allocated funds around the CARES dollars that we're doing that with the rescue plan dollars. And I think Wisconsin's been a leader in some ways around some of those industries. But, you know, we continue to work on making sure that we get these dollars to those areas of most need and those are gonna, that are going to have the most impact in ensuring that from an economic standpoint, that Wisconsin can make a strong recovery from COVID-19.
You mentioned businesses, and a report released last month by your department showed that of the $2.5 billion most recently provided to Wisconsin, $650 million went to support small businesses. What small businesses qualified for that funding?
Well, the largest portion of that was any business in the state of Wisconsin, virtually any business that had between $10,000 and $7 million of revenue was able to qualify for a $5,000 direct grant. That's 70,000 or more businesses around the state of Wisconsin. So that's the largest chunk of those dollars that we've been able to get out. And we have gotten those dollars out the door to most of those businesses. So, you know, we've tried to take an approach where we can do some of the things for that virtually every business can receive like that. You know, any business that's looking to start up that needed to create inventory, all of those things as they were moving forward, they were able to qualify for that. And then we've done specific programs for the movie theater industry, for summer camps, for the hotel and lodging industries, for other sort of live events and the businesses that are around those that have had a more significant impact from COVID-19 and those industries that, once again, unfortunately, are not going to be able to recover as quickly as we have had the Delta variant and as we've had the other things that have really made the last few months more challenging as a result of those changes. We need to ensure that those industries can continue to weather that storm because their recovery is not going to be as immediate as in some other areas.
Well, let's pick that apart for a moment. The live music venues, the movie theaters, the performance halls, those small businesses that were receiving some aid. How was it decided how much money these venues could receive?
Yeah, well, you know, in some ways, I hope this is not a shock to anybody, but we talked to some of them. I mean, it was direct outreach with independent venues. And in Wisconsin, the independent music venue in the industry here has really been a national leader. They were some of the real drivers behind the Shuttered Venues grant, the Shuttered Venue Operators grant that happened at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
Those were direct dollars that came back into Wisconsin. And so really what we did was to try to look at and get from them what was the scope of the problem, what were the losses. You know, we do have the benefit, having been in this now for a year and a half, we have the benefit of tax returns having been filed with the Department of Revenue. So, you know, as opposed to the very early days of the pandemic when we were operating on feel and just the immediate response, now we have data that we can hopefully, you know, we've been able to get into a little bit and ensure that what we're doing is measured as opposed in response to the losses that businesses have had, because, you know, it's clearly demonstrated through what people have gone through that there have been significant losses and that they've been targeted, as opposed to other challenges that we've had, the 2008-2009 recession that was really broad-based. As people know about the COVID-19-related recession, it really has been focused and targeted in some areas. Some businesses have continued to do very well, you know, but there are industries and specific sectors that have been really had an outsized impact, and we've tried to make sure that we're directing those dollars to those places of greatest need.
Joel Brennan with us, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration, as we talk about federal funding for COVID, how Wisconsin is using that money, where it is going in our state. What do you think of how Governor Evers has allocated federal stimulus money? Are you satisfied with the accountability of the process? Are you concerned that some of the money might have been misspent? What are your issues? 800-642-1234. You know, nationally, the Emergency Rental Assistance Program that was created to help pay rent in the pandemic has dispersed funds at a very slow pace. And I'm wondering, what is the pace like for renters in Wisconsin to receive aid?
Yeah, and I think in Wisconsin, generally, we've gotten pretty high marks. We compare favorably to some of the other states around the country. It doesn't mean we've been able to meet every need and that we can't be more efficient. But just to give you some numbers, so in 2020, we spent about $35 million. The governor directed about $35 million of our flexible spending into rental assistance. We did that through the CAP agencies, the community action agencies that operate in every one of the 72 counties in Wisconsin, and we provided assistance to people in every one of those counties, about 13,000 households. So in 2020, we were able to do that. When we got a significantly larger infusion, all totaled about $600 million in 2021, we were able to go back to that same network and repopulate that starting in March. So since March, from the state perspective, we spent about $60 million and responded to about 15,000 households. But that's only in the areas of Wisconsin that are outside the largest communities. So Dane County, Milwaukee County, Brown County, Waukesha County, and the cities of Madison and Milwaukee, they got a direct allocation within that $600 million. So they probably have spent about the same. So, you know, all totaled in 2021, Wisconsin has spent about between $120 and $130 million. We've probably been able to support about between 25 and 30,000 households. You know, that's significant. I think it's better than a lot of other states. Doesn't mean that we're not still looking to, as efficiently as possible, get those dollars out. And, you know, we've had another inflection point in the last few weeks with the end of the federal eviction moratorium. But the data shows that here in Wisconsin, we've been able to slow down and keep our eviction rates lower than where they were in other years throughout this pandemic. So, again, but with that program, as with most of the other of these, we're only as strong as the network of our partners that are getting that out. So the local communities have been good partners. The community action agencies have been good partners. We haven't faced some of the same challenges that they've had in other large states and other states around the rental assistance. But as the weather starts to change and as things get, you know, the things are different here in Wisconsin, we're going to be responsible to adapt for that and make sure that we're rolling with the punches and being flexible and agile and ensuring that we get those dollars out the door. Because as opposed to some other times, this is not a time where the resources are the challenge. There are resources to be able to get out there. It's communication, it's the network, it's the partnership that we have that's going to ensure that we can get those dollars out the door in a real efficient manner.
You mentioned as seasons change, and I think that, you know, your report notes that as of July 31st, almost $417 million have been reserved for future response. What do you make of holding money back for future response, and how do you distinguish that?
Well, I think if there's one thing we've all learned during COVID-19 is that things are going to change, and no one can predict what the future is going to hold. And so, you know, I think what the governor believes in this administration is just that it's the responsible thing to ensure that we have some resources that are available to be flexible and agile as things change in the coming months. Just to give you a sense, with the federal CARES dollars, those dollars, it was about $2 billion. Those dollars were spent about 50% on the public health response and 50% on the economic response. As we moved into the rescue plan dollars in 2021, our intention has been to spend about 20% on the public health response, about 80% of those dollars on the economic response, because that's where the challenges have been. And also, that's where we were moving in the direction of really trying to get on top of COVID-19, and the vaccines were, you know, had a successful rollout and all those things. Well, as the Delta variant has come up and as the more healthcare challenges have been realized over the last few months, it's only the responsible thing for us to hold some of those dollars and to make sure that we have dollars ready to go if there's a need for significant investment on the public health infrastructure side. So, you know, so I hope that, and I think the intention is that with those $400 million, if we can make sure we're navigating our way through getting people vaccinated and ensure we're doing the right thing over the next few months, that those are additional dollars that can go into workforce workforce development that can go into direct grants to small businesses, to infrastructure or broadband, those things. So we want to make sure that we're making those long-term investments where we can and meeting the immediate needs. But we've got to make sure that we have dollars ready for the public health response because we know that those things are going to change, and we know that they have over the last 18 months.
We have Department of Administration Secretary Joel Brennan on the line, fielding your questions on how the Evers administration is managing the state's COVID relief fund and state and local fiscal recovery funds made possible through pandemic aid from the federal government. 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're tracing federal pandemic aid that's come to Wisconsin with the Secretary of the Department of Administration, Joel Brennan, here. The Evers administration last month announced planned allocations of more than $4.5 billion from two pots of money made possible by the CARES Act funds and ARPA, the American Rescue Plan Act. And last year, the Evers administration dispensed nearly $2 billion in federal pandemic aid, according to the state's COVID response and recovery dashboard. What needs have gone unaddressed by federal relief packages? What else can be done to help? 800-642-1234. DOA Secretary Joel Brennan is with us for about eight more minutes. Secretary, earlier this year, the legislature had attempted to take control of how federal relief dollars would be spent, and the governor vetoed that legislation. Who is consulting the governor on how to use this money?
Well, we certainly have had influence from legislators, and they have input that they have provided. But really, the significant input that's been received has been from stakeholders. I'll give you examples. So you've got the movie theater industry not only in the upper Midwest, but across the country that has been hugely influenced in a negative way by COVID-19. And we still have challenges, not only about people being able to come back to movie theaters and their willingness, but also product being available from the major studios. And so that's been a challenge. About a year ago, last summer, the organization that does that, which is populated by individual theater owners and those who've been operating these for generations, reached out to the governor's office. We had some contact with them and formulated a plan where each movie theater around the state that qualified would get about between $10,000 and $15,000 per screen. It became a model that other states used around us. So it really is input from the small businesses that have been affected, and there are countless ones that have reached out to this administration, reach out to their local legislator, or just been part of being able to inform and influence how we're able to spend these dollars. Because as we were talking about earlier, this is not a problem that is as widespread. It's very focused, this recession, in certain industries. And in some ways, I hope the results bear it out. Wisconsin's got an unemployment rate that's under 4%. It's very close to pre-pandemic levels. We've got more people in the workforce. Our participation rate is better than some of the other states around the country and what the national average is. We all have workforce challenges that we're still going to be meeting now and in the years to come. But the evidence demonstrates that what we've been doing in Wisconsin has had some positive impact, but it comes from really some of the voices of the people who've been most influenced by this and have been hurt during the COVID-19 pandemic.
These dollars will be dispersed for years to come. Do you think that this approach, having these informal conversations with Wisconsinites as to where and how much money should be spent, do you feel like that is the roadmap for the future in dispersing this federal aid?
Well, I think it's always important to have conversation with real people. The governor, from the before his first budget, had listening sessions around the state, as opposed to his predecessor, who did most of that behind closed doors, to have real conversations with real people about how these dollars get spent. So are we going to continue to do those things? I think absolutely that's the tone that Governor Evers has set, and he's going to continue to be doing those things. I think we always have to look at, and COVID-19 has taught us the lesson that the challenges today are probably different than the ones we're going to face in 30, 60 days, 6 months, 9 months. As you say, the dollars from the Rescue Plan Act, They need to be, by the end of 2024, they need to be obligated. They need to be spent by the end of 2026. The lion's share of the dollars in Wisconsin are going to be spent before that because we're meeting emergency needs. But there are some things around infrastructure and the longer term that, I think we can use these dollars to help influence for the good in the years to come.
Yeah, the influence of the good. How will you figure out the impact of these dollars, what impact they've had in terms of, you know, your return on investment and how that investment has been used?
Well, there are, you know, there are different levels of that. I can assure you that, some of the dollars, because we've heard this from some businesses, that the dollars that they've gotten have kept them in business and helped them weather this storm in the short term. I think what the state's unemployment rate in the near term and the labor participation rate are good measures of how we're recovering over the longer term, just ensuring that we have the ability for people to stay in business. But the other thing about this, and I think this is something that the governor has said since the beginning of the pandemic, and the ability to use and leverage some of these federal resources, if our intention is just to go back to where we were in February or March of 2020, that will not have been the right kind of response and the right kind of recovery from COVID-19. So some of the dollars are going into equitable recovery, making sure that people who have not been enjoying the same opportunity in Wisconsin have some that comes out of COVID-19, that we are doing everything we can to bring more people into prosperity in the state. And those are communities of color. Those are communities that have had disinvestment over the course of the last generation in some cases. And so we have a responsibility to try to ensure that what we're doing brings more people along and allows them to live in the kind of Wisconsin that we all dream of.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Joel Brennan, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration, as we look at how federal funding for COVID has been dispersed in Wisconsin and how the money is being used. Secretary, Congress authorized more than $190 billion to help schools reopen and to stay open in the pandemic. How has money for schools been dispersed in Wisconsin, and how do you ensure that the pandemic aid, that federal aid, is reaching the most vulnerable students?
Well, a lot of those dollars have gone directly to school districts, and they've had the ability to deploy those. And in large part, you know, while we have the significant challenges around the Delta variant, the first few weeks of school here, I think, have been there have been ups and downs. But I think it's important. I think everyone around the state recognizes it's really important to have kids back in school. My son graduated from a Milwaukee public school as an eighth grader last year. He was in the classroom for all of about 2.5 weeks throughout the whole academic year, and he was not alone across the Milwaukee public school system. And so getting kids back in and ensuring that they have opportunities to do learning is something that we all should be invested in. From the state level, where the governor has had some discretion, and that mainly came with CARES dollars, we've been deploying those to the areas of most need and the districts that have evidenced most of that need. But I think clearly we want to make sure we continue to get people back into schools. And, you know, if I can make one other plug, it's, you know, the best way for us to do that, the best way to ensure that we move forward, yeah, some of these federal dollars are really important towards that, but people doing the right thing in their own personal household, getting vaccinated, getting kids who are over the age of 12 vaccinated, and making sure that we can do that, that's the best thing that we can do moving forward to ensure that everybody in the academic world, in the business world, in our own communities and neighborhoods, that we can move forward from COVID-19.
Secretary Brennan, thank you for joining us.
Kate, thanks. It's always great to be with you.
Joel Brennan, Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Administration. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.